be seated.
I'm so thankful that we don't have to understand what we believe. What do we understand about holiness? Other than it's not anything like us. But we believe that he's holy. And we worship him as the Holy One. By his grace, the Lord enables us to bow to him and to rejoice in his holiness. Thankful for that hymn. Thankful for you all. Thankful for this past year the Lord's given us. And one more year closer to glory. Now, I was thinking this morning, maybe this will be the year the Lord will come back. We're going to be in the book of Mark, both hours this morning. There are two characters mentioned in the book of Mark that the scripture has very little to tell us about. One is Simon of Cyrene, and the other is Barabbas. And yet the Holy Spirit, in his infinite divine wisdom, put both these men in his word in order to teach us something about the gospel. And so I pray the Lord will be pleased to show us from Simon of Cyrene this first hour and Barabbas the second hour what he would have us to know about Christ and his gospel. Well, let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith that enables us to believe that you alone are holy. Lord, you are unapproachable. We would not dare enter into thy presence apart from knowing that we have the Holy One of Israel who has made the way, presented himself on our behalf, in whom you are pleased and in whom we have all our acceptance. We ask, Lord, that in these hours that you would cause him to be lifted up, that you would cause us to fix our hope, our attention, our lives on thy dear Son, that in him we would know something of your life, your love, your grace, and your mercy. And Lord, we do thank you for the blessings of this past year and for the way in which you have been so merciful and faithful to keep us, and how we pray and hope that that would be our experience in this upcoming year. And Lord, we ask that you would put into our hearts a longing desire to be made whole, to have the experience of our bodies redeemed, to be made like Christ. Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down and deliver us. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Mark chapter 15. Verse 21, and they compel one Simon of Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now, from Scripture, there's only four things that we know about this man. We know his name. We know where he's from. We know what he did, and we know who his associations were. And those are the only things we know about him. And my hope this morning is that the Lord would bring these four things to our hearts and cause us to have some experience in knowing what Simon means, that we would have some experience in knowing what it means to be from Cyrene, that we would have in our hearts some experience as to what it means to bear the cross of Christ, and that we would have some experience as to the same associations that Simon of Cyrene had with Alexander and Rufus. Now, as I said in my introduction, this is basically, Matthew doesn't give us much more information than what Mark gives us about Simon of Cyrene. But we do know these four things about him. And what a picture, what a type of every child of God. The name Simon, translated, means heard. Heard. That's what his name means. Now, you and I come into this world spiritually deaf. We're not able to hear the voice of God. We're not able to hear the gospel of God's free grace. We have to have our ears unstopped. The Lord often said, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. So the Spirit of God is speaking. He speaks every time his word is preached. He speaks in so many ways to our hearts. But if the Lord doesn't give us ears to hear, we're not going to hear. We're not going to hear. We have to have hearing. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God, for they that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that faith is a gift of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should find any reason to boast. Faith is looking to and resting in and putting all our hope and trust in the glorious person and accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for all our righteousness and for all our justification. Man won't do that. He will not believe on Christ. So how is it that we receive faith? Well, faith is the only means of grace that there is. There is no other means of grace. Sometimes people call the Lord's table or baptism, they call them sacraments, or they say that this is a means of grace or that's a means of grace. There is but one means of grace, and that's faith. There are means to faith. And the primary means of faith is hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So, Simon of Cyrene represents for us a believer in that he heard something. His name at least represents to hear. The Lord makes it clear that his sheep hear his voice and they follow after him. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. My hope right now is the Lord's going to give us ears to hear. Because if he doesn't do it, you know, hearing is what he requires of us. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And what he requires, he must provide. He commands us to hear, and we come to him and say, Lord, I know that's what you command of me, but I'm going to have you to give me what you require. I'm going to have to have you to open my... I can hear everything else. I can hear all the audible noises of this world. I can hear all the unbelieving philosophies of this world. But, Lord, if you don't give me ears to hear, I won't hear you. Look what the Lord said in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 47. If any man hear my words, This hearing is more than just hearing audibly. It's more than just hearing with some intellectual understanding. It's more than just being able to recite some doctrine and to know some truths. That's what he's saying here. If any man hear my words and believe not. They've heard, and we've been there. I've been there. Spent years studying this book. Hearing but not hearing. Understanding but not understanding. And as we've often been reminded, the most often passage from the Old Testament quoted in the New Testament is found in Isaiah chapter 6, where the Lord says, they will have ears, but they will not hear, eyes, but they will not see. And that's such a description of those who study the Bible and the theology of the Bible and haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not rested their hope on him. They're trusting in their knowledge or in their understanding for the hope of their salvation. And so that's what the Lord's talking about here. He says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I would what I would say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ opens his mouth, he's speaking as the Word of God, the Word of God. And when God gives us ears to hear, we just believe everything that God says. Everything. I'm amazed. People say, well, how much of the Bible do you have to believe to be a believer? Every word of it. If you're a believer, you just believe God. Understand it? No. Believe it? Yeah. Yeah. Faith comes before understanding. The Lord said in John chapter 10, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. Now the Lord is speaking to these Jewish believers, his disciples, and he's saying to them, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. He's talking about us. He's talking about Gentiles. Them I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one sheepfold, one church. Oh, to be able to hear the voice of God. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Simon of Cyrene represents every child of God in that his name means to hear. To hear. John chapter 8. Look at verse. Now I know what sensitive, tender conscience believers are thinking right now. My heart's deceitful, desperately wicked. I'm capable of deceiving myself. Lord, have I really heard? Have I really heard? You know, if that's what you're thinking right now, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because that will cause you to flee to him to be able to hear. It'll cause you to not rest in some knowledge that you might have. Others will think, well, I've heard. I got it. I've heard. And those are the people that need to be concerned for their souls. So if you're thinking, Lord, have I heard? Have I really heard? Or have I deceived myself? That's a good place to be. Because that'll drive you to him in order to be able to hear. John chapter 8, look at verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now the Lord was making it clear that he was the bread that came down from heaven. I'm the bread of life. You're not going to have life anywhere else outside of me. Why do you look to your works? Why do you look to your will? Why do you look to anything other than me for the hope of your salvation? Why can't you hear what I'm saying? It's not that, you know, I heard one time it said, it's not the IQ, it's the I will. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, you cannot hear because you're not willing to hear. You won't come. You won't bow. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? The older I get, the more I live, the more I realize how simple truth always is. Always is. Had a young man I was talking to the other day, and he was all concerned about his career for the future and how he was going to prepare for it. And I told him, I said, I got three words of advice for you. They're real simple. On time, every time, with a good attitude. Now, how many of you men and women that hire people would hire somebody that met those three qualifications? On time, every time, with a good attitude. You'd hire them in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? Because everything else can be learned. It's that simple. Anyway, this young man wrote me back a few days later. He said, boy, I've been thinking about what you said, and I can't get away from it. And I responded to him. I said, that's just the way truth is. It's just simple. It's simple. Truth is always simple. We're the ones that want to complicate everything. And the simplicity of the gospel is that Christ is all. He's everything in salvation. We want to say, yeah, but. No, no buts. No buts. You can't hear my voice because you're not of me. If you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is all in your salvation, all in your election, all in your redemption, all in your justification, all in your regeneration, all in your sanctification, all in your glorification, the salvation is of the Lord. It's all. It's all Him. It's all Him. And what the scripture, I fear lest as Satan deceived Eve, that your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Men hate that simplicity. Why? Because it takes away their pride and their knowledge and their achievements and all the things that men look to for the hope of their salvation. They won't rest their souls on Christ. And the Lord says, you can't hear me. You can't hear me because you're not of mine. You won't hear the gospel. Turn me to John chapter 6. We're on the first point of this message, and we'll go through the others quickly, hopefully. But this is Simon of Cyrene. Simon's name translated means to hear. Speak, Lord, for thy servant listeneth. Look at John chapter 6 at verse 58. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? The gospel's not complicated, but it is hard. It's a hard saying. And the reason it's hard is because it'll strip you naked before God. It leaves you with no pride, no righteousness, no ability, trusting Christ alone for all your salvation. This is a hard saying. And they went out from him. And the Lord looked at the disciples and said, will you leave me also? And what did Peter say? Lord, where are we going to go? You've shut us up to this hard saying. We've got no place else to go. No place else to go. Well, we know something about Simon from his name. And we know something about Simon from where he is from. Now, Cyrene, translated, means bridal. It means bridal. And what I want you to see from this is that what the Lord has to do for each one of us. Number one, he has to give us ears to hear. And number two, he has to bridle us. Because otherwise we're like wild horses. And he has to put us in submission to himself. And this is what he does. He breaks us. He causes us, as the scripture says, to turn our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning forks. He does that. He causes us to lower our fist, our rebellion against God, and to bow in submission and in worship. He does for it. Paul said that his conversion was a pattern for every believer. Well, what was the pattern? Well, he was breathing out threatenings against God. Against God. Simon, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? Jesus, whom thou persecutest. You say, well, he was attacking the church. No, he was attacking God. And what's the next words out of Simon's mouth? Paul's mouth. Lord, what would you have me to do? He bridled him real quick, didn't he? He bridled him real quick. He makes us willing in the day of his power. He causes us to bow in submission to Christ and to give up on all our hopes of salvation outside of him. Thirdly, we know what Simon of Cyrene did. What did he do? Well, he carried the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is essential for salvation. This is every believer's experience. Every believer's experience is that he'll have ears to hear, given to him by God. Every believer's experience is that he will be bridled in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer's experience is that he will bear the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the 5,000 were leaving the Lord, he said to them, he said, the only reason that you're following after me is so that you can have your bellies full. Now, you know that the belly is a picture of the flesh. And the flesh rebels against the cross. Who wants to bear a cross? Who wants to go to a cross? Who wants to die to self? And the Lord said to the disciples, or said to those 5,000, he said, if you want to be my disciples, you have to be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And all those three things are the same thing. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following after Christ is the same thing. It's the same thing. It's identifying your life in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's saying that Christ's life is my life. That's what it is to deny yourself. I'm denying myself all my righteousness and all my pride and all of my... I'm looking to Christ, taking up his cross. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When Christ died, I died. I'm identifying the justice of God in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no other way to put away my sin other than what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. If he didn't satisfy the justice of God for my sin, then I have no place else to go. Now that's what Simon of Cyrene does. He takes up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and he bears that cross. Now I know what the world says, taking up your cross is the troubles and difficulties of this world. Listen, there are unbelievers who will die and go to hell who live a whole lot harder lives than you and I live. Whole lot harder. Matter of fact, the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. There are rebellious transgressors who will die in their rebellion against God, who are suffering in this world the consequences of their sin in ways that's not what it is to take up your cross. And many of them are hoping that their life of suffering is going to count for their redemption. But it's not so. The life of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where I'm looking. Not to anything I'm suffering in this world, but what he suffered on my behalf. Taking up your cross, denying yourself, and following Christ. Looking to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel, well, the scripture says, to the Jew, it is a stumbling block. Now, the Jew is a reference to the religious. And to the religious, Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified, and we profess to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the crux of the matter, and all the hope of my salvation is bound up in what he accomplished on Calvary's cross. And to the Jew, to the religious, it's a stumbling block. It's a rock of offense that the builders cast away because it didn't fit. Doesn't fit into my narrative. It doesn't fit into my religion. It doesn't fit into my belief system. My belief system is that I've got something to do. And so it's a stumbling block to the Jew and to the Gentile, to the Greek, to the irreligious. It's just foolishness. It's foolishness. Why would you spend so much time and effort being concerned about that? About something that happened 2,000 years ago. About something that's going to happen after you die. You know, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die. That's the irreligious view of life. And so to them, the cross is foolishness. But to them which believe, both Jew and Greek, it is the power of God. The power of God. Taking up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying with the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in our text that he had to be compelled to do it. There's something in our flesh that resists the cross, isn't there? We want to take comfort in everything else. But when the Lord compels us, he lays that cross on our back and he makes us willing in the day of his power. But sinners have to be compelled to come to Christ. They won't come on their own. They won't take up the cross on their own. And he went outside the camp. That's what the scripture tells us in Matthew in particular. Coming out of the country in our text and going out. And the scripture says that, well, turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 10, we have an altar. Our altar is a person. That's why we don't have an altar here. We don't come down here and kneel, or we don't perform some ceremony on a table. Our altar is a person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who manifests himself through the preaching of the gospel, who is seated at the right hand of the Father and can only be known by the Spirit of God in the heart. We don't want to replace the truth of who Christ is with something that we can identify with physically. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Those who are looking to their service to God for the hope of their salvation have no right. That's what the Lord was talking about when he said, I'm that bread that came down from heaven. You going to eat anywhere else? You're not going to eat this bread. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. So the remains of these bodies were taken outside the camp and they were burned. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, outside the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Simon, a man who had ears to hear, of Cyrene that was bridled by God, took up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him outside the camp. That's every believer's experience. Every believer's experience. Now, my last point comes from our text in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. The father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, that's all that the Holy Spirit put in God's word about Alexander and Rufus. Leading us to conclude that everyone that read this knew who Alexander and Rufus were. Why? Because they were prominent believers in the church. Everybody knew who Alexander and Rufus were. They were leaders. Everybody knew them in the body of Christ. And my last point is this, that every believer's experience is that when they hear the gospel and are bridled by God, when they're brought to identify their life with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're given a new and better family. They're given by God a new and better family. I've had family members say to me, well, you know, blood's thicker than water. I say, yeah, and the blood of Christ is a lot thicker than our blood. I'm not saying that we treat our family with anything other than the highest respect and love and affection. But when it comes down to it, we don't have anything in common with an unbeliever. I don't care if they are of our own blood. We just don't. You know, you exhaust the conversation real quickly, don't you? With your own kin. And yet, what fellowship we have in the body of Christ. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Everybody knew who they were. They were part of the church. They had gone outside the camp. Now, you know, sometimes the scriptures, and we need to be rebuked for not coming out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. But the truth is that when God puts you into the family of God, it's so much better than anything you ever had before that you don't feel like you've lost anything. Let those who are of your own kin, if they so desire, treat you as an outcast. Like I said, we're not going to treat them that way. But the Lord made it clear that our enemies will be of our own household. But here's the truth. We don't have any enemies among God's people. None. We have fellowship with God's people. We have a love for God's people. We have a longing with the people of God. And there's a connection, isn't there? There's a fellowship that takes place when spirit meets spirit. And that fellowship's around the gospel. We fellowship with believers when we're talking about Christ and talking about the things of God and rejoicing in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So, every believer's experience is that God gives them ears to hear. He bridles them, making them to bow in submission and worship to Him. He causes them to identify their life with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives them a new and better family. All right, let's take a break.